Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Sports Station. Dirt and Sprague.
Goff under center, second down 10, 15-yard line of the Lions. He gets the snap, he hands to Montgomery. Over the right guard, poke a tackle on the hash mark, the 20, breaks free at the 30, running up the middle of foot race to the 50. Down the middle he goes, the 40. He cuts to the left, he's on the numbers, the 30. He's past the 20, and he's down near the 11-yard line. What a gallop! 71 yards! A beautiful run by Montgomery!
Andy Dirt Johnson, Brandon Sprague.
Montgomery's the back, Goff under center, three tight ends, 49 of Detroit, fourth and two. Goff gets the snap, spins, fakes the handoff, blocked Montgomery. Here's a pass downfield, it's an over-the-shoulder catch at the 30-yard line, down the sideline. St. Brown, what a call! What a play!
Dirt and Sprague on the Fan Sports Network.
All right, 6:02 in the Rose City. Time for Dirt and Sprague on Portland Sports Leader 105.1 The Fan and The Fan Sports Network. Good morning. Happy Tuesday, everybody.
What is happening?
Feeling good?
I'm feeling pretty good.
Looking good over there.
Feeling better than last Tuesday, that's for sure. So we're already off to a better start today. It only goes up from here, Bob. It only goes up from here.
Why do you feel better than last Tuesday?
Last Tuesday, I was not here. I was out. I missed the show.
Oh.
Yeah, so, you know, 7 days later, sky's the limit on me.
Apologies.
Yeah, you know, that wasn't very fun. Although my stomach was a little upset this morning, but I'm doing okay. I'm here. We're live. That's an everyday occurrence.
I totally forgot that happened because time flies when you're having fun.
I missed the mail sack. I missed NFL Factoid Tuesday. I missed the dirty poll. It's my day for my poll, but I wasn't even here to give you my poll.
Dude.
I wanted to give you my poll.
We have to do these video teases for the show, and some I'm not gonna lie to you guys. Like, I have days where I'm like, okay.
Make this
it's
quick.
Usually the most I get cussed at is when I come in and say, okay, well, time to do the video, somebody.
It's
please.
Just like, we're not mad at you, we're mad at our dad.
Yeah, I understand that, I don't take it personally, but the most cussing...
All right, fine.
I was contemplating, what would it take for me to not do it? Because here's my thing, I love our partners at Grey Notion.
Yes.
I love them. Met Paul, great facility over here just by our studios, not
wonderful
very far
spot.
Away. Great people. But I'm always like, it's a minute video that gets put out like 4 minutes before a show.
It's pretty quick turnover for us.
If you don't watch in that 4 minute window,
right.
It's kind of like a what is this for thing?
Yeah, because then if you discover it, we're 2.5 hours into the show. I mean, I guess you can go back and hear about what we talked about and maybe listen to the podcast. But if you wake up at 7 o'clock, you're not the video's not going to do much for you.
Here's what you need to know. Great Notion, they keep beer fun.
They do.
I just constantly ask myself whenever I'm asked to do the video, what would it take to get me out of doing the video?
Right.
And so I'm always kind of looking at ways to make him over there uncomfortable.
Hey, come on, Swag. Come on.
And I think I've concluded that I might have a day. No promises, no guarantees.
Okay.
I might have a day where I just lick his cheek.
Oh, whoa.
Whatever it takes.
Whoa. Live on the video or to get out of doing
no,
the video?
No, right before recording
right
the video.
Right before. Because if you're going to lick Swag's cheek, I think that's probably something that should be in the pregame video.
It'd be very odd to be in a pregame video.
Look, I don't know how many people watch those. I don't know what our viewership numbers are. I don't know what the click percentage is. I'm not 100% certain, right? If you lick Swag's cheek in the video...
I think he kicks me off out of the video.
I think he kicks you out of the video, and that turns into, by far, the best pregame video we've ever done. Like, nothing will touch that. Yeah. I'm sure Robser like 7 seconds at this point when he goes.
Which, when he does them.
There's nothing wrong with lasting 7 seconds. A lot of us are proud of that, right? And so he goes pretty quick. And if I, you know, you licking swag.
Yeah.
That's number one on the big board.
I think it's the most uncomfortable thing I could do to him.
That would make, yeah.
I think it would make me uncomfortable.
I think it'd make everybody uncomfortable.
It'd make everybody uncomfortable.
If I watched a video or saw it happen live, I would be very uncomfortable.
No, that would come with just ridiculous repercussions because of my OCD wife.
Ooh.
Wait, what? Why would your wife be involved in me licking
now, she can't kiss. Now she can't kiss him when he gets home.
You don't understand.
Maybe she wants to taste a brand.
You gave him
no,
a leg.
She really does.
Yeah, she wants nothing to do with that. Look.
It's probably better for the show's sake that our wives are not sexually attracted to all
sure.
of us.
Yeah.
You didn't need to go that far and say it in that way.
He's a pretty immediate lock that thing down. No.
You don't have to make me feel worse than I already feel.
She's not interested, buddy, all right? She's not. She wants nothing to do with you.
You are the ugliest piece of crap she's ever looked at. You want to know the truth? Thank you.
She finds you repulsive and hideous, actually, now that you bring it up.
One of the more fun stories of my life is Dirt being nervous that I'm even talking to who is now his wife.
Yeah, that is true.
Yes.
That's a good point.
Yeah,
that
was
talking about on the air.
Formative
I was married at the time.
I know.
And I just said hello and made her laugh about something. He goes, dude, stop making her laugh. And I was like, what?
It's actually a really funny story. I don't know if we've ever told that story on the air.
She came back over, swag. Yeah. We're at Buffalo Wild Wings.
Yeah.
We're in the corner. She was our waitress.
She was.
I had no idea he was interested, you know. And so she comes over. It was like a second or third time she had been our waitress.
How many wings did he eat?
Him and Danforth used to house 12 boneless wings before every show.
Dude, we were making minimum wage.
Minimum
and it was
wage.
Free food when we went to do live shows there, and I took advantage of that free food.
Nothing will beat him ordering 12 boneless wings except me bringing in spaghetti and asking the kitchen if they would reheat it
you
for
did,
me.
At the restaurant. You asked, can you take this in the back and put it in the microwave? And they were like, no, we can't do that.
That was a bad moment for me.
I forgot about that.
But she came over and she was just like, hey, and I don't even remember what I said. I just like, and she started laughing. And
she did, yeah.
He
would it kill you? Is it up? He's so funny all the time.
Yeah, he leans over and he goes, dude, stop making her laugh. I'm trying to talk to her. And I was like, oh, okay. And so I literally turned my body sideways the next time she came, and I didn't even acknowledge her existence. I started watching a television just so he could talk to her.
And then when we started dating, I think she asked, does your co-host hate me? Because he didn't talk to me that one time. And I'm like, oh, no, he's just kind of a weird guy, you know? I don't really know what's going on upstairs with him. I can't really trust him.
Damn, both of you just backing up over my body here. My wife thinks you're ugly.
Beep, beep.
I totally threw you under the bus just so I get on a date with this girl.
Awesome. Yeah, that's a funny backstory of how we met, because she was our server at Buffalo Wild Wings many moons ago, back in the original days of our show. And you're far more outgoing in public than I am. I'm a very introverted person. I don't, like, once people get to know me, I can be very outgoing, or if I have a couple of beers, I can be outgoing. But in like settings like that, I'm not a very talkative person. And you're just kind of, you shoot from the hip. You know, you're that guy out in public. You have no filter. You make people laugh. And I'm sitting there like, hey, I'm trying to make a move here, man. And you're being too funny right now. I'm going to go ahead. It was the scene in Seinfeld with Jerry and George. Like, hey, do you have to be so funny all the time? Can you dial it back a little bit? Can I be the funny guy for a moment? And you just shut up for the rest of the dinner. And it worked out for me.
But it was here's the only thing is I would say is like, it's a little odd. You're in the moment and now, you're in a way accusing me of blocking.
Yeah.
While I was married.
No, it's not that you were blocking. It's not that. It's just simply you're taking the spotlight away from me, okay? I need a moment here. I'm on center stage. The spotlight is on me. I'm standing open mic night, and you're over here cracking jokes in the first row, okay? I'm trying to make people laugh in the
crowd. Was warming her up.
You were my opener for the night? Is that what you're telling me?
That kind of sounded weird to say that
really
out loud
weird,
about your wife.
That sounded a little strange. Let's not warm anybody up the rest of the show.
I was the opener. You need a good opener, right? Yeah. You need somebody to kind of make it.
I wasn't confident enough in my game, and I was going to be overshadowed by the opener. That was the problem.
No, see, you got to get the crowd in the right mood, because they're coming from wherever, and who knows who spilled a drink on her before.
Might have been a bad shift.
The order, gave her a crappy tip, whatever.
Yes.
So you need the opener to get her in the right mood to be receptive.
Right.
So she is smiling and happy and relaxed.
Yeah.
And then you can come in with the headline act.
Yeah. See, he gets it. Why didn't you get it?
I didn't know if I was a headline act at the time. That was the problem.
I would argue.
I still don't think I'm a headline act, but you know, I fooled her in for long enough.
Like every true comedian. Just a mental basket case.
Just make it up as we go.
Doesn't matter if they made $8 bajillion, they still don't know if the joke's going to be funny or not.
I got some issues, man. I got some issues.
Well, I was told that once you made Teddy Ballgame, you leaned into the ear and said, I've got you now.
No escaping now.
We got one together.
All I'm saying is like... You know,
you want to lick Swag's face back to the original point?
No, nobody wants that.
I was close enough to the stubble that I was actually that thought went through my brain.
With him on him? You went cheek to cheek this morning?
I told you, I try to make him uncomfortable so he gets me to not do it.
I don't think that's going to work, unfortunately.
I don't think it's going to work either.
I don't think a grand scheme's going to play out. Maybe if we Venmo him like $5, he'll do the video for us every day. Or buy him a coffee. If we bring you a coffee every day, you want to do that video for us?
Sure.
Hey, there you go.
That's what it would take?
That's what it would take, coffee a day?
I think eventually he'd say, thanks for the coffee,
after
but
2 weeks,
free coffee, and you need to do this.
Like, okay, I'm all done. I don't want to do this anymore either.
He would be a liar. He would say, management said that you guys actually need to be doing these too.
Yeah, they're cracking down. They need to make sure the host does this every day.
And I'd say, show me the email, and he would do this weird, like, he'd look off into the distance and then walk away, because he has no evidence that management ever really said that to him.
Well, he's technically management.
No,
so
I know, but he would like, coolly.
He could say it's management. And said this, and it could just be Swag, and he could be right because he's management.
You're not wrong.
Get to work. What are you doing over there?
Well, happy Tuesday, everybody.
Happy Tuesday.
I was out and I did not go to bed till 10:40.
That's fun.
Birthday dinner on a Monday.
That's a nice night for a birthday dinner.
Having no idea what I was getting into, of like the wife saying, hey, do you want to go socialize at 6? And I was like, it's a big Monday night for four.
Is this a family birthday?
Family friend. That's how I describe it. Okay. It wasn't an anti-them thing. It just, my initial reaction was literally, I was like, no.
That was a pretty good football game last night.
Oh, it was a great game.
That game lived up to the hype.
Luckily, I went to a place that had it.
Okay, there you go.
So I didn't miss it.
As long as you're at a place with TVs, I'm okay going out.
You guys don't care about this and you don't need to. I had the most devastating fantasy football loss I've ever experienced in my life. I was 99-1 going to win. 99% it said on my fantasy app.
Oh, did that last Montgomery touchdown?
Aiden Hutchinson sacked Lamar on the last possession.
Oh, that's what did it.
And it literally swung 99-1 to 99-1 the other way.
How did one sack swing it that far?
Because that stat means a lot in an independent defensive player league. And guess who traded my opponent, Aiden Hutchinson, this summer to my opponent? Me.
It was his revenge game against you and your fantasy football team.
For CJ Stroud. This,
oh, God.
Who got me 12 points.
Oh, yeah.
So it was a little kick in the junk last night. Not only that, but at least I hit the over bet.
There you go.
That's all I have.
Look, the betting the over was the most enjoyable part about Monday Night Football. You just root for points. I didn't really have a rooting interest because I like both teams and I wanted them both to win.
I was very happy with either result.
Yes. Hammer the over and root for a lot of points. And first two drives of the game go touchdown, touchdown. You think, all right, here we go.
We're off and running.
A lot of points are going to get scored tonight. This should be fun.
Well, we're off and rolling. We got a busy Factoid Tuesday. It's a Dirty Poll Tuesday. So we'll see where Dirt's Dirty Poll lies at 7 a.m. We got some Dan Lanning audio, some Trent Bray audio. We got some NFL. And we've got some non-NFL college football to get to. Ryder Cup and Major League Baseball. It's a loaded show. Thanks for hanging with us. Let's get it going here on a beautiful Tuesday morning. We start with some takeaways from yesterday. Dirt and Sprague on 105.1 The Fan.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right. And the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
You can't count on much these days, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Stream your local NFL game live every Sunday all season long, starting at just $30 for the first year. Breaks down to about $2.50 a month with Paramount Plus. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started. Wanted to mention before we dive in here, we are Paul Silas Marcus Camby amount of days away from the tip-off of your Portland Trailblazers.
It's another one I would have never guessed, Marcus Camby, 29.
Well, caveat here.
Okay, did he not wear that his entire career?
Well, he wore 23 most of his career.
Ah, touche. Okay, that I can remember in my head.
He was 29 one season. I went and looked at the 29s.
Not a lot of good 29s out there, huh?
Pretty awful list. Paul Silas is probably the most notable one who wore it multiple times throughout his lengthy career. He also achieved quite a bit as a player. It's a pretty awful list of a number.
Have we ever had a 29 in Blazer history? That's always my follow-up.
Yes, we have.
We have. Who's our number 29?
Slavko Vranis. Played in 04.
Oh, what?
Do you remember that?
No.
Swag?
No.
Not ringing
You were in the prime of your life, Swag? Do you remember Slavko Vranis?
How many games did he play?
I...
Is it like a back end of the bench guy? Are we talking he actually played?
I
mean, 04, the fan base.
His career says literally one game, zero stats.
Okay, so he got in a game maybe? Yeah. Okay. Slavko, big fan of Slavko.
Yeah.
There's a jersey to pull off the, you know, out of the depths to find that one at the Moda Center this season.
Yeah.
Number 29.
29 is a pretty awful number when you think about it.
But it really is, yeah, especially in the NBA. Not a lot of players want to wear that number.
We got a hell of a Monday Night Football game. I think there's going to be some Monday Night games that don't lend us to want to, like, open the show with it. But when you get to what appear to me to be really great teams squaring off, I think it's worth conversation. That was an interesting one last night because they started off, Lions come out, they get the touchdown, Ravens respond with the Henry run, and then you kind of have a back and forth. They're tied at 14, one separates, then the Lions tie it, they go on this long drive. I just, like, kind of gave you everything you wanted. Some good defensive moments, but largely high-powered offenses operating. And at the end of the day, what a road win for the Detroit Lions, pulling that one out. They did get a late touchdown, the Ravens, to cut it to the one score, but they couldn't convert the onside kick. And so Detroit ends up escaping Baltimore with a big road win to move to 2-1. And as they noted on the broadcast, Dirt, a much different team than we saw week one against the Packers.
Oh, a much different team. Defensively, they were outstanding, I thought. Like, the Ravens are going to have chunk plays, and Lamar is going to break loose every now and then, and they had a couple of nice, long, down-the-field throws. But when they needed to, their defense stepped up and made plays late in the game, especially in the second half. And all of a sudden, on Baltimore's side, something you never really thought you had to worry about has become something you now have to worry about every week, and that is Derrick Henry's the only running back in the NFL who's fumbled through the first three games of the season. It cost him in week one against Buffalo. It's not the only reason they lost last night, but that was a pretty pivotal time to lose a fumble in the fourth quarter in a back-and-forth game, and it kind of allowed Detroit to take a bit of a stranglehold on it. They ended up scoring on that drive, and so that now has become something that's going to linger for them. For Detroit, though, I think it was a great confidence booster. Like, it's one thing to go home and kick the crap out of the Bears. They've been kicking the crap out of the Bears for a long time under Dan Campbell now. This is another one to go on the road against a team who is a bona fide Super Bowl contender and one of the front runners in the AFC, and to put 38 points up, to look good offensively, and to do it their style. Like, I was so happy for them when they went for it on fourth down, up by, what were they, up by seven or whatever the score was.
When they were at the 50?
At the 50-yard line with the game on the line, and it's just, that's Dan Campbell. That's Lions football.
You knew they were going to do it.
Yes, and I know if they don't get it, we have to come here today, and people's heads are going to explode about how immature that was, and how you can't make that, you got to punt, make them go the length of the field, and this is 1984.
People are still operating
that way? I still
absolutely
think people operate that way. We had somebody tweet us last night, verbatim, never trust Lamar. Now you see why Hurts is so good, because he's strong, not just physically, but mentally. Like, that's the takeaway for people from football games sometimes.
Well, you've given him ammo last week and a half. That's
this is where I'm just, I was really glad that they converted that fourth down, because I love when teams are aggressive. You have the ball, go ice the game. It was a great play call, a great throw from Jared Goff, and a really impressive win by Detroit.
You want to hear sad, listen to the voice of Derrick Henry, who's had a Hall of Fame career.
Yeah, he looked lost on the sideline after that one, man.
I mean, can we just acknowledge something? I actually felt bad for him because he is remarkable. that helmet slam paired with the slipping on the bench is one of the funnier
it's pretty funny. Yeah.
Gaffes of all time for a player in a
match. At least
moment.
He landed on the bench. Like he didn't like
kinda.
Yeah. Well, he did, as opposed to like maybe hitting right where the seat bends and you bounce back down onto
he
the
was
turf
so upset.
Like one of those old ladies in like the Life Alert commercials. Yeah. I've fallen and I can't get up.
it looked like that.
Derek, you're all right, man.
Yeah, he was so upset, but you could also see that when he slipped and he's like his back is on the bench, that he's in a way, I think, trying to contain with how stupid he probably just looked.
He knows all the cameras are on him because he just fumbled and got to the sideline. That's going to be watched by 30 million people.
Well, you mentioned he's fumbled every week of the season. He had 3 fumbles total last year. He has fumbled 3 times. He had 2 last night, right? Or one?
I think he just had
and then one.
He's had a fumble in every
in
game
every
this
game.
Season.
So he's already matched his fumble total from a season. Here was Derrick Henry in the locker room.
Crazy right now. 3 games straight. That happened to my career. Great fumbles in critical moments. I apologize to Flop Nation.
He just came off so sad when I watched this on SportsCenter last night. Here was Dan Campbell. You mentioned that 4th and 2. I think they were at midfield or were they on their side of the field. They were right at that midfield point, 4th and 2. We all kind of knew they were going to do it. And Goff had a beautiful pass to St. Brown. Here was Dan Campbell on that 4th and 2 play.
I got a tremendous amount of trust in those guys, and that's been built up now in 5 years, right? And that helps. And that offensive line, the way they were playing, and we felt like that was the right call. It's those guys. It's the players, man. They're the ones who make this stuff come to life, and they've earned that trust, you know? And they just, once again, man, they step up and make huge plays at critical times. And it's unbelievable. It really is. It's a thing of beauty, man.
I'm not going to high step. We don't know how the Lions season's going to go. We don't know who's going to stay healthy. We don't know if they're going to lose on a 4th down call in heartbreaking fashion in the playoffs. What I will just say, though, and I'll say this confidently, no matter how all this goes, I found myself watching this game, and one, I love Lamar. I love the Ravens. Like, they're a very likable team to me. They have something odd, and I don't know what it is or how to pinpoint it. I don't think it's all jokes aside, I don't think it's a Lamar clutch factor. I don't think it's any of the ridiculous things we go after. I can't pinpoint what it is about that team, but they need to break through in one of these moments. The comeback by the Bills, they need to shut a comeback like that down against an elite team. A team high-powered like the Lions, they need to respond. A Chiefs team that they've lost to, they need to break. They need to, like, do something that breaks this. They lose these weird big games against good teams because we know they're elite. That's not even a question. I actually last night watching and I'm chuckling. There was a lot of narrative based stuff about Dan Campbell as a coach because he lost 2 coordinators. And I'm not saying there wasn't some questions going in, but I find it odd that there's a lot of coaches in that league that can have this kind of start with a franchise that was as low as the Lions were when he got there. And we give them benefit. And I think it's because of the way he is or he talks or he acts. He didn't get a lot of that. There were people going, I don't know about the Lions, man. I gotta take a big step back.
There's no turds
because
here.
Because of those coordinators leaving. And I thought last night, that's a good coach. Why is this hard to say out loud? That's a really good coach. Yeah. I don't need to question it, even if you have some turnover on your staff.
I thought that game was more about the Lions than the Ravens.
Yeah, I mean, I don't really disagree with that. It was going to be a big win for whoever ended up getting it. It was a great night for their offensive coordinator, because to your point, that was a question mark coming into the year for some.
Morton? Is it John Morton?
John Morton. Yeah. And I thought he called a great game. I love the 4th down call, the play action. Would have been a penalty whether they completed the pass or not, because Humphrey did not see that coming, and he was coming up to try and stop the run. How about the handoff to St. Brown that then turned into the option play?
That was gorgeous.
That was a beautiful touchdown.
I thought that was the best play of the night.
Jared Goff actually talked about this. I think St. Brown did too. They practice that play every week, and they've never implemented it. And when they got in the moment, they had a timeout or a commercial break. I can't remember. And in the huddle, they basically are like, let's run that play, because it's always worked for them in practice. And the guy's like, if you want to run it, call
it. They went Philly-Philly, huh? And, should we go Philly-Philly here?
Goff called it, and they ran and they scored a touchdown.
It was a beautiful play design, so I think a lot of those concerns are quieted. On the losing side of it, I see your point about Baltimore. They need one of them, especially, like, they get Kansas City on the road this week.
Big one.
I mean, there is a possibility in which
one and three
one of those two teams is going to be 1-3 through four games. Now, we're not going to quit on either of them the rest of the way, but yeah, barring a tie. I would say what they need is a defense.
Well, they were missing one of their starting defensive linemen whose names I still can't pronounce.
What happened to the Lions at the end of last season? They had nobody healthy defensively, and it ruined their season. And so, I don't know how many of their guys are out for the rest of the year. They gave up 41 points to Buffalo in a loss. They scored 40 points and lost a game on the opening night or opening weekend. And last night, I know one of them was a late touchdown after the Lions went up by two scores, but they scored 30 in that game at home. Like, that scoring 30 and 40 points in NFL games should be
enough.
You should
be undefeated.
That should be enough to win games. And so I don't think they're going to have the same challenges because Kansas City's offense is still trying to find their way without any targets, so they should have a better day against Kansas City this coming weekend. But that, to me, is their biggest issue right now. Are they turning into a version of Cincinnati of last year? Lamar's been outstanding. He's having an MVP-caliber season. They're scoring a ton of points, but they're 1-3 because their defense can't get a stop when they need him to get stops. A
couple carryover thoughts, but it's also an NFL Factoid Tuesday, so we'll get to that coming up. Where do you think the Ravens' problems lie? Some people want to go to the quarterback on all this stuff. It's always the quarterback. But I will acknowledge there's a weird thing with the Ravens team in these moments, in these games. And again, I just think they need to have a breakthrough moment. They've been great, there's no doubt, but they just, something about them, I can't quite pinpoint what it is, even when I watch it in real time. NFL Factoid Tuesday, let's get it going next on The Fan. We'll get to the dirty poll coming up here at the top of the hour. Yeah, man, I think in that sport, people just tend to go to the quarterback. Although when the Bengals don't make the playoffs, it's not Joe Burrow's fault. It's everything else.
Nor should it be.
Nor should it be.
It's okay to have a nuanced approach to this. It doesn't have to be if your team wins, the quarterback is the only reason you won. And if your team loses, the quarterback is the only reason you lost.
I just call it how I see it, dude. Let Lamar have a year like that with the Ravens where they miss the playoffs.
Whole career when they lose in the playoffs. It's all his fault.
It's always him. Now, look,
Mark Andrews dropped a 2-point conversion and fumbled last year in the division round of the playoffs. And if he doesn't do that, they go to the AFC title game.
I know that ball was like a block of ice, but did you watch him do that diving catch in the corner for the touchdown? I go, how did you drop the other one?
Yeah, it was right there in your lap, man. It was right there. And make a play.
No, I thought the bigger concern was how much Detroit dominated both lines of scrimmage.
They got after Lamar. That's not easy to do because he can find a way to wiggle out of it and use his legs. And they did a really good job of bringing him to the ground.
The coverage downfield was tremendous. Lamar wasn't just taken off or...
A lot of times when they showed the behind above camera where they show what he would be seeing.
They stayed in their rush lanes.
Dude,
and
where would you throw there? And he doesn't want to run as much anymore. He still runs, but he doesn't want to. And so I actually thought that cost him a little bit last night. That hurt their offense was his reluctance to just say, okay, I don't got it tonight. They're covering my guys really well. I thought he had more rushing opportunities. What I would say, though, in these games, these moments – because we know they're going to beat up on the bad teams.
Oh, yes.
They'll drop a stupid game. Maybe it was the Bills game this year, but usually they lose one to a bad team.
They'll struggle. You know, who knows? The Browns defense might, force a turnover and score, that sort of thing.
But, like, at what point do we also look at the coach here? I feel like he kind of skates a lot. It's usually like Lamar. Or Derrick Henry can't be trusted. He fumbled. Like, I feel like we find other things, or maybe I'm reading the wrong room here. I just, like, at what point is John Harbaugh, Jim's better, even though John beat him in a Super Bowl. At what point is John Harbaugh responsible for some of these games, these losses?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's whenever you lose a game like that and the way they lost in week one, you have to spread the blame around. Did Lamar have moments where he held onto the ball too long in the pocket and probably should have used his legs quicker? Of course he did. Like, there's plays that he's going to want back. I also think sometimes we try and make something more of a story than it necessarily is. This is a 28-24 game in the fourth quarter. Baltimore's got the ball, and they fumble on the first play of the drive.
Yeah.
And hand Detroit a short field. Now, the defense held them to a field goal at that point, and so it's only a 7-point game. And to Detroit's credit, they got a 3-and-out on that next drive and then went and scored the game-clinching touchdown. But in that moment, like, you're moving the ball up and down the field essentially the entire game, and then all of a sudden – Hutchinson comes from behind Derrick Henry, doesn't see him, he fumbles, and you hand him a short field, and all of the momentum in life is sucked out of that sideline. And so that's why I brought it up in the opening segment. Like, if that's going to continue to happen, which I don't think that it will, but I also, if you would ask me yesterday, hey, is Derrick Henry going to fumble three straight games? I probably would have told you no. He's going to focus on it. It'll be a point of emphasis. He's going to hold it high and tight, and he won't fumble. And then in the most pivotal moment of the game in the fourth quarter, down with the ball, he fumbles on the opening drive or the opening play of a drive. And so I think sometimes we look for big answers and bigger picture things when in reality it's how many turnovers did Detroit have last night? I don't believe they had one.
I don't think they had one.
I started saying that, and I was like, I really hope they don't actually
have a
turnover.
Oh, I thought you were asking her like a rhetorical question.
No, they did not. And no Baltimore had a turnover in a key pivotal situation. Like, yeah. Sometimes it's as simple as that. And to me, the takeaway is more so about, to Swag's point in the last segment, like Detroit finding their defense when they needed it. That was something that they did not. Remember the way they lost in the playoffs last year? They gave up nearly half of 100 to Washington at home. Like, the reality of Baltimore's two losses this year might be they've lost to the team who's going to win the AFC and the team who's going to win the NFC. Like,
yeah, Detroit certainly isn't that conversation.
We don't know how the rest of the way is going to go. Like, it's one thing for me to sit here and wonder, man, like, how are you losing to fill in the blank of, like, Jacksonville got you? How the hell did that happen? How did the Saints find a way to beat you? It's another thing to have one score games go against you against maybe the two best teams in the NFL right now.
But that's kind of their problem, is they're supposed to be one of those teams. And we know that
they
are. And
I still think that they are.
I agree.
Like, this is where I'm just not, it's week three. I think they are one of the best teams in the NFL.
I'm not panicking. I'm just saying, like, they've had a lot of those losses to those teams. So, like, Detroit has had big road wins before. We've seen that before. We know Detroit's good.
Yeah.
And I still have the same takeaway yesterday. Swag's like, what are we going to say if the loser? And I'm like, both teams are still good. Be my takeaway.
I mean,
Baltimore needs that win. They need the win in that one of those games.
I would say, like, last year, I just pulled up because I'm like, how many of these elite teams did they play last year? Remember when Buffalo went there on a Sunday night? They beat them 35-10 in the regular season.
Who they lose to in the playoffs?
they did.
But I'm just saying, like, that's their problem is, like, it's those moments, those games. Regular season doesn't have to matter as much. We know the playoffs are the creme de la creme, but they find themselves in stupid moments sometimes. And like the Bills game, they shouldn't have lost that game. That is inexcusable. I don't care how good Buffalo is.
You play that out 10 times in the fourth quarter, they win the game 9 out of 10 times.
Historically, it's never happened what happened.
One time that they found a way to let it slip up.
Let's get to NFL Factoid Tuesday. We do it every Tuesday at 6:30. The Seahawks have only given up 3 sacks in their first 3 weeks. It's the first time since 1997 they've allowed 3 or fewer sacks in their first 3 games. According to Hawk Blogger.
Hawk Blogger?
Yeah.
Hawk Blogger. Oh, yeah, we've had him on the show. That offensive line is playing solid. It didn't get off to a great start against San Francisco the last 2 weeks. It has been much better. Although I can't really take anything out of any team who plays New Orleans, because New Orleans is just awful.
How about this one? This is OptiStats. Players in the Super Bowl era to have multiple touchdown catches and a return touchdown through their first 3 career games, or through 3 career games. Tim Brown in 1998, Percy Harvin 2009, and now Torrey Horton for the Seattle Seahawks this year.
Dude, you return a punt as far as he did. What was that, 95 yards?
95-yard
punt return.
Why are you fielding that?
It's
okay.
Anytime somebody catches a punt inside the 10-yard line, you immediately yell at your television. And then that's one you regret, because he ran it back 95 yards. They were raving about him in training camp, that he was turning heads and he might
Brady told us about him.
Yes, he might turn into a rotational wide receiver. And if he's making that impact, I remember watching him at Colorado State. Like, he's been a good player for a long time.
I know you were really drunk at the start of that game and you sobered up throughout. Was that the best play you saw Sunday at the game?
His catch was pretty good, his touchdown catch, because it was a fade to the back corner.
Him becoming a number two for them would be so vital, because we know JSN is a one. You get a number two, and then if their tight ends can continue to grow and develop.
The block punt was pretty good, too.
Yeah, that was great.
That'll always get the crowd fired up.
I mean, I love a blocked punt,
Nothing better than a blocked kick.
Punt returns in person, too, are different, because you can kind of see it. Like,
you can see it developing.
You're like, oh. Like, you can tell. If you're watching on TV, you can't really tell that there's a lane there. And the announcer will get excited, but you can't see it the same on TV.
We'll get to one more, because we interrupted a lot of this segment with more Ravens talk. How about this one? Speaking of punts, the Colts have punted just once 3 games in. It's the fewest since 1940. Shane Steichen was quoted after the post game saying, "Yeah, that pissed me off."
That's a great quote.
The Colts are good.
The Colts are good.
And you know what?
We all have egg on our face.
Oh, everybody.
Everybody.
Most.
They go to L.A. this weekend.
Yo, they're going to get humbled at some point. They'll lose.
Somebody will get them at some. If they beat the Rams on the road in LA this weekend. Because the only thing you would say, like, the Bronco win was a quality win. Their other two wins came against two of the worst teams in the NFL, in Miami and Tennessee. The Broncos will probably be a playoff team or a borderline competitive playoff team the rest of the year. This is the one that would, I think, wake more people up. If they go on the road and win in L.A. By the way, if they win that one, you know who their next two games are against? The Raiders at home and the Cardinals at home. So if they beat the Rams this weekend,
dude, if they're 6-0,
you are staring at a potential 6-0 start for the Indianapolis Colts.
Last time they started 3-0, 2009, they got to the Super Bowl.
What if
Daniel Jones goes to a Super
Bowl? Wins the AFC this year. We're here yelling about Lamar not winning big games, and here comes Daniel Jones riding into town in the playoffs.
That's more improbable than Rex Grossman taking the Bears to the Super Bowl, isn't it?
Oh, I would argue it's the most improbable Super Bowl journey since Kurt Warner.
Yes.
Because we didn't know Kurt Warner existed.
No.
We at least had seen Daniel Jones win a playoff game. It would be the most improbable Super Bowl thing since Kurt Warner.
This one would be pretty high up there on the, like, the Baker stuff turning his career around didn't surprise me a ton. Like, sure, he had flashes early. This one would be near the top. This one would be similar to me to Alex Smith. Like, Alex Smith for me was dead and done. He got benched for Troy Smith. He was so bad in San Francisco.
Yep.
And then Jim Harbaugh came to town, and all of a sudden things turned around for him. I never saw that. This one would be right there, like 1A, 1B of would have never guessed it in a million years.
I got way more NFL factoids, so we'll get to that coming up next. NFL Factoid Tuesday on 105.1 The Fan.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, welcome back in. 6:49 on Portland Sports Leader 105.1 The Fan. NFL Factoid Tuesday's rolling along. We got the Dirty Poll coming up. I got Lanning and Bray audio, so let's stop farting around here and get to it. Shut up.
God, stop talking.
The Broncos offense, this one from Sheil Kapadia, former friend of the show. The Broncos offense had 9 total first downs against the Chargers, the second fewest by any team in a game this season.
Only 9 first downs all game?
Through 3 weeks, they rank 31st in offensive success rate ahead of only the Houston Texans. Their defense looked good last week, and it didn't look good against the Colts. That offense, it's a little concerning.
They're hitting big plays at moments when they need to. That fourth down touchdown call comes to mind, but only having 9 first downs throughout the course of an NFL game is alarming.
A lot of punts starting that game off.
That's about the same number of first downs that Oregon State had in the Civil War this weekend.
We don't need to bring that up.
I'm just saying that gives you a point of reference to
Penn State week.
Offensive
NFL factoid.
I'm just giving you a context and a point of reference.
You didn't give me an NFL context.
I'm giving you a comparison.
Judge's rule, invalid. This one via the Lions PR last night. Detroit had 7 sacks, which is the most the Ravens have ever given up in a single night.
That's a pretty remarkable stat, man. Especially for a guy who is the most athletic quarterback we've ever seen play the position. He's not an easy guy to sack. I don't know if you know that.
He is not. How about this one for their offense? They had 10 possessions that led to 5 touchdowns and a field goal. 2 of those touchdown drives were 95-plus yard drives.
Those were incredibly impressive to go the length of the field multiple times. The first one early on and the one in the second half.
Since 2017, the Jets' record is 41-94. Over that same period, the Giants are 40-94-1. Those are the two worst records in the NFL via Mike Lupica. The Panthers have been better than the Giants and the Jets.
Well, it makes it hurt even more, too. That,
they've been,
you know,
equally as crappy as each other.
Nothing to enjoy in New York football. At least the Giants got a couple of rings that they can lean on in somewhat recent memory.
Not since 2017.
I know. It also makes it sting more, too, when you see former quarterbacks go on to do good things. Like, Darnold saw ghosts, and then he goes to Minnesota and has a great year. And week one was rough, but he's played better the last 2 weeks, so we'll see what he turns into. And right now, the story in the NFL has been the Colts and Danny Dimes.
Tough. Kick to the junk.
Yep.
Vikings DB Isaiah Rodgers earned a perfect PFF grade. It's the highest they've ever given out. Against the Bengals, he had a pick six, two forced fumbles, a scoop and score, one forced interception. It's the greatest defensive back performance of all time.
And maybe the best defensive performance that we've ever seen. And I'd like to thank the nerds for not ruining it with some, like, caveat. Well, on second down in the second quarter, he got beat across the face on a slant route, so we can't give him a perfect grade.
Very quickly, more incredible performance to you guys than Derek Thomas's, what did he have, 7 sacks in a game? Was it 5 sacks in a game? In the 90s? See.
Is that still the record for most sacks in a game?
I believe he still holds that. Yeah. In a single
game.
Wasn't
it against the Seahawks?
I couldn't recall the opponent either. It was like 1990.
7 sacks in 1990, yeah, and yes, it was against the Seattle Seahawks.
What year was it?
1990. November 11th, 1990.
Which one's more impressive? Because multiple touchdowns plus, like, multiple fumbles.
Seven sacks is crazy. For an individual.
That's nuts, right?
Can you give me a frame of reference for the 1990s Seattle Seahawks offensive line?
I'll give you a 2024 frame of reference.
Yes.
Oregon State only had 7 sacks in their entire season.
See, now I got it. Now I could connect the dots here. That's pretty impressive.
Judge's rule, that one upheld.
That one's allowable?
Yeah.
I mean, 1A, 1B. I'll give the advantage to the player in the secondary for all the different things. It wasn't just one statistical category.
And, yeah.
It's forced fumbles, interceptions, touchdowns. Yeah. It was having your hand in everything.
Ricky Pearsall had 8 catches for 117 Sunday. All of his catches had a defender within 3 yards.
He's off to a really good start this year, and the Niners, great luck continues with Bosa's season-ending ACL injury.
Yeah.
3-0 and just... No hope.
Every week, no. Another player.
Has there ever been a more hopeless 3-0 team in the history of the NFL?
Well, they're going to be 4-0 because they're going to beat the Jags.
They probably will beat the Jags
because
the Jags are not very good.
To your point.
I don't know if it matters how many games they win in the regular season. Like, the reason people like the Niners to go to the playoffs, myself included, was because their schedule was ass this year.
Yeah.
And so far that has been borne out of they haven't played anybody. I mean, the Seahawks win was nice.
Here's what I'll just say. I told this to Nemec. Just make the playoffs. That's all I care about. You're not a Super Bowl contender. I know that.
With all these injuries, you have no chance.
Let's get some rapid fire via Next Gen Stats. Justin Herbert was pressured on 54.7% of his dropbacks Sunday. It's the most ever in his career. He was 10 for 23, 143 yards. The game-tying touchdown and interception was sacked 5 times against that Bronco front.
And the interception wasn't really his fault. It happened in the first half. It was a deflected pass that went up and somebody picked off.
Had somebody in my fantasy league on our chat suggest that the slate kind of sucked this weekend. According to ESPN, there were 7 games featuring a game-winning score in the final 3 minutes of the fourth quarter. It's the most in a single day since the 1970 merger. There were 9 non-offensive touchdowns scored.
It was insane. All the block kicks at the end of the first witching hour. You want to tell me, like, an afternoon slate sucks? There's only 3 games and one of them turns into a blowout. That turns into a dud. I'm okay with it. The NFL slate as a whole never sucks.
The Dallas Cowboys are 31st in yards allowed, 30th in touchdowns allowed, and just lost CeeDee Lamb for 3 to 4 weeks.
Who's worse than them?
It's a great question. I have to go back and pull that stat up, but I pulled up those stats specifically because
the
Saints are so worse.
The Saints?
Well, here's one for a conversation.
Tennessee, maybe? Tennessee's been torched back-to-back weeks.
The Ravens are now tied with the Dolphins for the most points allowed in the NFL.
Yeah, I just... We're looking for what's wrong with them. Their defense is supposed to be good. They got a lot of talent on the defensive side of the ball, and they can't stop a nosebleed right now.
Just because most people crap on him, I got 2 more stats for you. Caleb Williams, off his 4-touchdown performance, now has 7 touchdowns. I believe that puts him tied for second in the NFL. His 4 touchdowns Sunday came 10-plus yards down the field.
Yeah, they were pushing it down the field against that terrible Cowboy defense.
And final one, 615 yards, 6 touchdowns, no picks, 3 game-winning drives, and a 3-0 record. Baker Mayfield, welcome to the MVP conversation.
Top 5 quarterback.
Since 2023, of these quarterbacks, Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson, Joe Burrow, Patrick Mahomes, and Baker,
Baker has the most passing yards, the most passing touchdowns, the second highest completion percentage, and the third highest quarterback rating.
And they're decimated with injuries right now on the offensive side of the ball, and it does not matter. He keeps finding ways to win games.
There you go. NFL Factoid Tuesday.
Wonderful.
Thank you.
Wonderful.
A lot of effort goes into this.
Wonderful.
Factoids.
It does. A lot of work.
A lot of work.
Appreciate it.
Loaded second hour. Let's unveil the dirty poll. Get into college football. Hour number two, Dirt and Sprague on 105.1 The Fan.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.